an hour. It can mean a time in the day. It could mean season. Not just a day, not just a year, an entire season. But let's look at the way it is used in the book of John. Then you tell me what it means. That makes sense? Does that make sense? So in John chapter 1, you find that word, hour. John chapter 1 verse 39. We are going to read together. Everywhere I'm calling, we are reading together. Want to go? John chapter 1 verse 39. He said unto them, come and see. And they saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So this one, what will he mean? A time in the day, right? Right? John chapter 2, the one we just saw now. 4, my hour has not yet come. John chapter 4, verse 6, John 4, 6. Now Jacob's well was there, this is the woman at the well. Jesus therefore being wearied in his journey, he sat on the well, it was about the 6th hour. What does this one mean? A time in the day. Does that make sense? It was about the 6th hour, 6 a.m. John chapter 4 verse 21, this one is important. You know, in verse 18, well, in verse 17, Jesus asked the woman, he said, where is your husband? And the woman said, I have no husband. I always teach this when you are looking at the word of knowledge. Jesus said, where is your husband? The woman said, I have no husband. Some of you have said, Jesus, word of knowledge, fail. Person, he said, you have said well. You don't have an husband. You don't have no husband. The one you had is not your husband. You've had 5. Then in verse 19, give me. The woman said, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. He's more than a prophet. Verse 20. Our fathers worship in this mountain. You say Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Observe Jesus' response in verse 21. Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you will no longer need to worship in this mountain nor at Jerusalem to worship the Father. You know, you worship what you don't know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in... Now, this one, the hour comes. Did you mean the day? What is he talking about? A season. There will be a time. There will be a dispensation. When those who worship the Father worship in spirit and truth. That's not any hour in the day. That's a particular kind of time. So you know that? That's the same word, hour. In chapter 5... verse 25, John 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall live. And they that hear shall live. Of course, he's talking about the gospel. He's saying the hour is coming, when those who are dead, when they hear the voice of the Son of God. The voice of the Son of God is the gospel. Amen? That's the voice that was walking in the garden in Genesis. He says, when they hear it, they will leave. That's the same, that's Ezekiel's vision. Dry bones talk down. Amen? That's by the gospel. Amen? Amen. Am I fast? Am I? Alright. Alright, so he says, the hour is coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall leave. This is not rapture. This is not apocalypse. This is now. Amen. Amen. You know, right now, as we preach the gospel, the dead are coming alive. Amen. Alright, so the hour is coming. That's not the time of the day. That's a particular time when an event is going to happen. And then the dead shall leave. John chapter 5 verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Verse 35. He was a burning and shining light. We're talking about John. And you are willing for a season. That word season is the same word hour. You are willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Chapter 7. Sometimes the way to understand a particular word is to look at how that word is used in the same book. Alright, John 7 verse 30. Now this one is more important. it comes home. It says, they sought to take him. That's Jesus. They sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour. You know, we've been seeing the hour is coming. The sixth hour, the tenth hour. But this one is now talking about what he spoke about in John 2. When he said, my hour is not yet come. Now he saying, they laid hands on, they wanted to lay hands on him, but no man could do that because his hour had not yet come. So there is something called his hour. Jesus' hour. His hour had not yet come. Interesting. Verse chapter 8, verse 20. You learning something? Chapter 8, verse 20. This word spoke Jesus in the treasury. And as he taught in the temple, no man laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. So when hour comes, what will happen? We lay hands on him. Come on. Right? When his hour comes, they'll be able to arrest him. When his hour comes, they'll be able to betray him. When his hour comes, they'll be able to crucify him. But his hour had not yet come, so no man. Chapter 12. So his hour will be his death. Come on. His hour will be the time of the death, his burial and his resurrection. That will be his hour. Chapter 8. Okay, we just read chapter 8, verse 20, right? Chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired of him, saying, we want to see Jesus. Now, Greeks are Gentiles. Jesus, before now, had been preaching to only Jews, to Israelites. The moment Gentiles came, what does that tell you? The gospel is about to go to every nation. And that will not happen till he rises from the dead. So the moment the Greeks came, and they told Philip, Jesus, verse 22. Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip told Jesus, verse 23. And Jesus said, that means the hour is come. So the Gentiles came, he knew, for the Gentiles to come and seek me. That is what Isaiah prophesied about. The Gentiles shall come to your rising. That is about the Christ. That is, the moment the Gentiles come to his life, salvation is about to go to every nation. Not just Jews. When they came to tell Jesus, they said, the Greeks are here. Jesus said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be what? Glorified. His glory will be his risen from the dead. So put that somewhere. Verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, save me. Is that not the prayer I prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Eh? Let this cup pass over me. Now he's saying, instead of using the cup, he said, this hour. Because his hour has to do with his dying. His hour has to do with his sacrifice. Save me from this hour. Are we getting that word, my hour, now? Alright? Let me just give you other references. John 13:1, John 16:2, John 16:32, John 17:1. So, go back to John 2, where we're coming from. I'm coming to John 12:27, John 13:1, John 16:2, John 16:32, and John 17:1. Alright, go back to John chapter 2. Let's get back to the wedding. So, wine finished. And the mother of Jesus said, they don't have wine again. And Jesus said unto him, to her, woman, which is a word he uses anytime he switches from the carpenter to the savior. Anytime he wants to. He's not saying mother. This is not a matter of mother. It's not the mother of God now. It's human that needs salvation too. He says, woman, why are you doing this? My hour is not yet come. And he's not talking about the hour for miracles. Because he eventually did a miracle. That means if it was about miracles, the hour had come. But we have looked through the book of John and we saw his hour, right? What will be his hour? Come on. His death and his resurrection. Can we cross that? What will be his hour again? His death and his resurrection. It's important that he died. Because that's why he was buried. But very important is that he did not remain dead. So, how does the death and the resurrection has to do with wine finishing? Now, that's the question. Wine finished. What did we ask you? What are you telling me? I said there's no wine. You're telling me that it's not time to die. Jesus, are you sure you're fine? He's always like this to Jesus. The mother said, are you sure you have COVID? My time to die is not yet come. What's the relationship? Why will he drop that kind of comment at the wedding? Because there is a theology for the wine. And with Bible students, I'm about to walk you through some things. Be patient and listen. The moment he had wine, you might be thinking about liquor, alcohol, a drink, but Jesus is thinking about something else. Because there is a way Moses used wine. There is a way Moses wrote wine. And don't forget, Moses is one of the most important writers in the entire Bible. Why? Because Moses did not quote anybody. Everybody quoted Genesis. In fact, you cannot have a book as part of the Biblios without quoting Moses. He is the prophet of prophets. Remember when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. In Luke 24, just turn, maybe some 2 pages. And he had risen from the dead. And some of his disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus. Give me verse 18. In verse 17, he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you be having as you walk? And why are you sad? He's talking to his disciples. And one of them, Cleopas, answering unto them, saying, are you a learner? So are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you know the things that have happened in these 3 days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. They are talking to Jesus and they don't know it's Jesus. What kind of disciples are you? You're hearing your pastor and you don't know he's the one. It means you don't attend services or you don't need to take. He must have been very mad. A-R-R-E-D. Disfigured. It's not easy for Roman soldiers to beat you. You can't come out the same way. Amen. He must have been very such that they could not recognize him. Or they were disciples from afar. And he said, verse 19, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word, before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and all our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that he was the one that would redeem Israel. Besides, this is the third day that these things are done. Yes, certain women went to the sepulchre and they told Peter some things. Peter went there, they did not find his body, but a vision of angels. Verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it the way the women said. But they did not see him. Verse 25. Jesus now said to them, fools. So sometimes foolish is not an abusive word, it's a description. Say you are fools. Paul also used the same in Galatians 3:1. Say foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Why are you not thinking? Say you are fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ who has suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Don't forget we said his glory is in his resurrection. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27. Beginning at Moses. So you see how Moses is important. Beginning at Moses, all the prophets, he began to expound to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Moses is too important in theology. Moses is the one that will tell us what is called life. Every other prophet will pick from what Moses calls life and they will call it life. Moses is the one that tells you that Adam died and Adam was still there. The day you eat of it, you will surely die. And the same Adam that died is still hiding himself. And you wonder, he didn't die now. But Moses told you he has died. And that now translated to telling you that every man who has not believed the gospel is a living dead. Can you not hear? When the hour comes, the dead will come. Says now, that is a Moses time. Moses is the one that will tell you that in the beginning, God said, be light. And there was light. And he wasn't talking about the light of the sun, because the sun was not created in verse. He wasn't talking about the moon. The moon was created. The great lesser light was created later. But Moses called something light. And every other person kept calling it light. The voice of God. The gospel. So when Paul will now come and say, God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, he has shone in us to give the light of the gospel. We now understand. That's a Moses time. That makes sense? Does that make sense? So Moses is the text writing. Is the genesis of the oracles of God. So if I understand a terminology, we look at what Moses said about it. Whatever Moses calls the wine is the wine. Whatever Moses calls death, whatever Moses calls the serpent, for example. You know, Moses had a theology. He used serpent. He could have used anything. He knew what happened. He knew that it was the devil that was the deceiver. And he said, beguiled Eve. He said the serpent was more cruel than every beast of the field. And he came to the woman and he said, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree that is in the garden. And the woman said, Mumu. You know, it's not every conversation you must reply. Mumu. He said, that's not what God said. That's not what God said. Actually, if I recall what my husband told me, God said we must not even touch it. Devil said, I understand what God is saying. Ah, what an amazing God. He loves you. Of course, devil is not going to come at you and say, no, it. No. Say, oh, that's what God said. Ah, he told me to. Yeah. God. How great is our God. That's what happens. Is it cause happens for a reason? Sing with me. Eve, sing with me. How great. Eve, sing. So after they are great. Actually, what God is trying to say is that though it is at that time, but now is the time. The hour has come. And so she ate it. But the theology state, it is the serpent. So when you start looking at the scriptures, you start seeing that theology of the serpent. Let's look at something. In Mark 16. You learning something this morning? Are you seeing how we are studying now? We are going from Genesis, we'll go back to Mark, we'll go back to, that's a Bible study. There are 66 books. They are meant to be read together. The moment you don't read together, you will not see that thread of faith. Amen. In Mark 16, we are looking at this because we are looking for the theology of the wine. The wine is not just ordinary wine. There's a reason why you would drop that response and say, it's not time to die. Why are you asking me for wine? That means Jesus is reading another meaning to a new wine that they did not know. But after the resurrection, they understood. That, this is the reason why I was saying Jesus. Alright, look at Mark 16. 17 says, these signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. I'm not there myself. Alright, in my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, They shall take up serpent, and if they drink any deadly thing, if not when they drink. Amen. Amen. Look at family tonight, poor recipe. You say, Bible says when I drink any deadly thing. No, if. Say, I want to do the if now. Yeah, you have some questions, ask the Lord. Amen. You go ahead. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not by any means hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they the sick shall recover. But look at it, said, they will take up serpents. That's not me giving you cobra, everybody. Now say, pass it around. No. By saying, take up serpent, you must remember Genesis. The serpent in Genesis did not do, who is in the garden? A little woman. Oh my God. Huh? Eve was not hearing. No. It was a temptation. Someone came to her. Amen. She had something. Alright? Look at the third serpent. They will take up serpent. That means, by the gospel, we defeat the serpent. By the gospel, we overcome the serpent. Put that somewhere. Look at, Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 7. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said unto them, I behold Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power over what? To tread upon what? Serpents and scorpions. And over, come on, over all the power of what? So the serpent and scorpion will be what? The power of the enemy. Does that make sense? Come on, does that make sense? Alright. So, again, by the gospel, Jesus gives them power over serpents. Are you seeing that? He's speaking a theology from Moses that is consistent. Paul will do the same. In 2 Corinthians 11. If you are going to study the Bible at all, you have to study it well. There's no rushing in Bible study. It takes years. It takes time. But when you understand, you understand. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 1. I would to God that you a little in my fully, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous with you about godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one another, present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Can we verse 3 together? I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve, through the subtlety, so your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. As the serpent deceived Eve. And he was talking about the devil. That's why it's always shocking to me. Now I'm going to say this. If this goes against what you have always known, take it easy. I always tell people that when you hear something for the first time, it doesn't make it a lie. It just means you are hearing it for the first time. I preached some years in Ibadan, some years ago, and someone said, this is the first time I'm hearing this. I said, you know the message I listened to? That message was taught in 1960. 1960 something. So it was an old radio. In fact, they had to duplicate it. I said, so what you are saying that is a new doctrine was taught in 1960s. So it doesn't mean that it's new. It doesn't mean that it's a lie. It means you're hearing for the first time. From what we have taught about serpents now, what we have just, do you think it's wise to say the believer should be at what? Okay, let's look at it. That's Matthew's gospel. Matthew 10. Jesus sent his disciples two by two. Sent Simon, Peter with Andrew, sent John, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, two by two. And they went out, he told them not to take anything in their purses. In verse 16, he now said, behold, I send you forth as sheep among the wolves. Be ye therefore as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's funny because everywhere the serpent was used, it wasn't for a good thing. Now let's think. Don't jump. calm down. I'm sending you forth as sheep among wolves. First comparison. Right? So, it's a versus. It's a contrast theology. Sheep versus wolves. Then it says, be therefore as wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Let's forget that one. Next verse. Beware of men. They will deliver you up unto councils. And they will scourge you in their synagogues. Verse 18. And you shall be brought before kings and governors for my sake. For a testimony against Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought what you shall speak. He shall give, giving to you what you will say in that same hour. So what is he saying? He's saying, I'm sending you out. There are some people that will give you out. There are some people that will betray you. They will set you up. They will do like they are listening to you. They will do like they are on your side. But they want you to betray the Christ. Does that make sense? So go back to verse 16 again. I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Who are as wise as serpents, but you be as gentle as those. Let me say it again. The issue is that a lot of you just consider the wise. They forget the serpents. Because if I say you are as smart as, give me a clown. Any clown? Is there any? Eh? Or something that is not smart, that's not that intelligent. Goat. Oh, that's not Ronaldo. Alright. You know, I said, you are as gentle as a goat. You will stop looking at the word gentle, you start looking at the goat. Because whatever I say about being gentle, I have capped your gentility as that of goat. That means you are not gentle. I said, you are so humble. You are as humble as a goat. You know, you start that's not a compliment. Right? Is that not a compliment? Why would you say, why am I as gentle as goats? Who is goats? But when it comes to Bible, you forget that. You forget that serpent and you look as wise. No, he's saying that there is a wisdom of the serpent. That wisdom of the serpent pushes you against God, like Genesis. Right? The wisdom of the serpent will make you oppose God's word. It is now saying, I'm sending you for sheep among wolves. These guys they have the wisdom of the serpent. How did we know? Because they're going to deliver you up. They're going to betray you. They're going to set you up among the kings and the governors. That makes sense? Their wisdom is like that of the serpent. It's not you. I tell you, a believer should not be praying that prayer. God, I want to be as wise as serpent. You're asking for the wrong thing. Amen. You know, you can ask for the wisdom of the spirit. Amen. Come on, amen. You know, I have the wisdom of the spirit. I have the wisdom of the spirit. I don't need that of the serpent. Amen. Alright. So you can see that, you can see how theology prevails in your teaching. You don't just say serpent because you see something that is good. That white serpent is a mess. It's not a good thing. It looks good because it's a white serpent. It's the same way Paul, we call it in 1 Corinthians 1. I say, the wisdom of this world. I say the foolishness of God. You know, that wisdom of this world is not a good thing. You can't say because you saw wisdom. You are not asking for it. I received the wisdom of this world. That's a bad thing to receive. So you must not just look at the qualification. Look at what is being qualified. The wisdom of the serpent is not the right. Because from Moses, a theology was laid down. So go back to John 2. So you have words like that, that in the Bible, they have their own meanings. They have their own meanings. For example, if I tell you, don't be like Cain. You know, Cain is more than a person. He's a theology. He's a theology of bitterness, a theology of anger, a theology of envy, a theology of murder. So, you find that in Jude verse 14. It says, don't follow the way of Cain. It's not like Cain has a street where he says, this is the way of Cain. No! He's saying, don't be envious. Don't be bitter. Don't kill. The error of Balaam, Jude. Okay, no. Give me, not Jude 14, Jude, okay, I taught Jude 14 recently, don't mind me. Jude 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily after the error of Balaam. These are people that hold the Old Testament, but they have become a teaching. The way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and the gainsaying of Korah. Korah is the one that was, sorry, don't mind me. Korah is the one that was doing a thing against Moses. He was calling people. Coup d'etat. I'm going to remove him. Who does he think he is? Think that it's only him that God is talking to. We'll show him what APC is. Sorry to the card carry members. Alright. The gainsaying of Korah is using people and is using it to teach something. So you can have theology. In Hebrews, he will tell you, don't be like this. Esau is the theology of those who despise the inheritance of God and look for the physical. The moment you reject the ministry of Christ, because you want to satisfy your own career, your ambition, your marriage, whatever, that is Saul. You are a Saul disciple. Esau disciple. What did Esau do? There's no big deal in what he did. He just, but right. And he went for porridge. Porridge. This is a collabo. No. Did you miss collabo? Eh? Rice and chicken with plantain packaged already for 200 naira. Glory to God. Alright. Well, let's forget that. That's the kind of thing. You sacrifice the ministry of Christ because someone gave you an opportunity. That is exactly what Esau did. That's exactly what Esau did. Because according to Israel, the firstborn male is meant to take on the priesthood. You know what Esau said? He said, damn the priesthood, give me food. Who needs priesthood? Who wants to preach? Then give me food. So what he did was to reject the ministry of Christ. So you can see that you can have people as theology. That makes sense? So let's go back to that wine. I need to start. Come. So go back to John 2. Are you learning something this morning? Huh? Alright. So, they have no wine. The mother of Jesus was there. Then she went to her son. Said they don't have wine. And he said, no time to die. And someone say, what did we carry? What did we throw? You understand that one, right? What did we carry? What did we throw? I'm saying they don't have drink. Shinap. Jesus, shinap. Chapma. That's what I'm talking about. He said, it's not time to die. My hour has not yet come. Because what did Moses say about the wine? Is it making sense now? So the new wine was meant to be in the resurrection. Genesis 27. I spoke about Esau. Because we are all familiar with the story. How that Jacob was the one that took the blessing. Right? Right? He had to wriggle his way to do it. But Esau never wanted it in the first place. So there's no point. Thank you. In Genesis 27, verse 28. So Isaac is about to bless Jacob. In verse 23, he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, are thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring him near to me, and I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless you. And it was brought near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see the smell of my son. It's as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Then the blessing starts. Verse 28. Therefore, God give you the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow to you. Be Lord over your brethren. Let your mother's son bow to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be everyone that blesses you. Don't forget, this blessing is not just a blessing for a child, it's a blessing for his ministry. The priest. That is, he is the one that will now carry the mandate. Don't forget, God side with Abraham. Abraham gave that blessing to Isaac, not Ishmael. Isaac is about to give it to his own son. He's meant to give it to Jacob, being the first. But Jacob has sold it. Now, to Esau. But Esau has sold it. Now Jacob is receiving the blessing. Jacob will eventually give it to Joseph. Joseph will give it to Ephraim and Manasseh. That makes sense? Does that make sense? And like that is how the gospel is propagated in the Old Testament. You give it to your first child. And that blessing is not just for him. It's for the nation. He says, God will give you plenty of corn and wine. He says, let all the nations serve you. That's like praying for someone today and say, let there be open doors of ministry in every nation. Does that make sense? It's the same thing. But observe that blessing and put it somewhere. In Deuteronomy 33, there's a second mention of that corn when they got to the land. Because that wine is for the land. Deuteronomy 3, verse 28. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land, upon a land of corn and wine. And also his heavens shall drop down dew. So the new wine is actually God's blessing. Just put that way. God asked Abraham, you bless your son Isaac with this. Isaac will now bless Jacob with the same thing. So, what we call the wine, the theology of the wine, will be the blessing. I like that song. May he be upon you and your children. That blessing is for the Canaan. It's for the land. And don't forget that Canaan is not just an ordinary land. When they got there, they were sleeping for the promised land. Because Canaan was just meant to be a difference from Egypt. Egypt is the land of bondage. Canaan is freedom. Egypt is the land where you serve other gods. Canaan, your God alone will you serve. Don't forget, Moses said, let my people go so that they can what? Serve me. So Canaan is that land of service where we are now God's people and we are saved from tyranny. We are saved from bondage. That's Canaan. It's not a land as much as it's a state. It's not a land as much as it is a dispensation, a time, an hour. Alright, so again, the wine is meant for the land. It's God's blessings. In the land, there will be new wine. So, Jesus is looking at this. And he's saying, why are you telling me that there's no wine? Because he's not saying there's no wine in the wedding. He's saying there's no wine in humanity. So he said, the wine has finished. He is not hearing wine has finished in the wedding. He's hearing there's no wine in humanity. God's blessing is not prevalent. Because God's blessing is forgiveness of sin. Look at that much more tomorrow. Don't forget we are teaching what happened in 3 days. Alright, so he said there's no wine. And he says it's not time to die. Because that wine, that new wine will only come by his death and resurrection. You know how I know? Look at Matthew 28. So eventually he makes this clear. In Matthew 28, you learning something? That's in Matthew 28. Matthew 26. The night of the Passover. Verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say, "Is it me, Jesus?" And Jesus also said it. You've seen that joke before. "Is it me?" Jesus is saying, "Jesus, get out." And he answered and said, "He that dips his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man goes as the reason of him. Woe unto him by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been for good that that man had not been born." Then Judas, who betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it me, Jesus?" And he said, "You have said." Verse 26, very important, pay attention. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Verse 27. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them and he said, "Drink all of it." Verse 28. "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Don't think too much. So, he broke the bread and he gave them and he said, "This is my body." I know we still eat it and it's fine. But what he did that night, they teach him. Because every time they broke the bread, they remember Egypt. The inception of the Passover is that night when the firstborn of Egyptians were killed. So Moses told them, said, "You will now do this for remembrance. Every year you break the bread." They used to use meat. Maybe they became poor. They now started using bread. It's actually meat. I wish we use meat and the real things. Amen. Amen. You know, as soon, now we will go back again. I want to eat the Lord's body again. This roasted Lord's body. Ah. So they broke the bread and they ate. He said, "This is my body." Then he gave them the wine. He says, "Drink all of it." He says, "This is my blood of the new covenant. I will no longer drink of this kind of wine with you. The next time we are doing it, we'll be taking the real wine. In my Father's kingdom, we will have a new wine." So what will happen in 3 days will be a new wine. Amen. He's about to die. And he says, "This wine is the last we will take. This physical one you are seeing." He says, "When I am done, in these 3 days, in my Father's kingdom, we will drink a new wine from the fruit of the vine." He says, "I will not drink henceforth from this fruit of the vine until the day I drink it new with you." Amen. In my Father's kingdom. God's kingdom reigns when Jesus rose from the dead. His kingdom is on the earth. His kingdom is men being saved. His kingdom is healings happening everywhere. His kingdom is we gathering here this morning. Amen. That's God's kingdom. Amen. So you get why he told Mary, "It's not my hour." Because for the new wine to come, for the new covenant to come, because the wine is the new covenant, right? "This is my blood of the new covenant." For that to come, he had to rise from the dead. He has to rise from the dead. So what did Jesus do in 3 days? He died. He rose again. So that we can have a new wine. Amen. And we're going to look at that new wine much tomorrow. Because when Peter stood up in Acts 2, the question people asked him was, "Are you full of new wine?" But we see that much more. Because new wine is the new covenant. The blessing of God. Don't forget, we said the blessing of God will be what? Come on. Huh? Plus, in your account. Something like that. Huh? A good spouse. That's not the blessing of God, because those who don't believe the gospel also have it. Anything I don't need the gospel to have, it's not God's. It's not God's blessing. Do we have Muslims who are very rich? In fact, the richest man in Africa. Amen. In fact, sometimes the way to be very rich is for you not to give a hoot about God. If you can cheat, if you can, you know, you're going to be very rich. That's not you, right? You're not going to do all of that, right? Yes, you're not going to do all of that, right? You know, but people who don't have the gospel, who don't have the spirit of God, they pass exams. They get all distinctions. Why? I remember there was a time Taisho Larry, you know, when he was in school, he told his lecturers, he called all the fellowship presidents, and he said, "I'm daring God that he will not graduate with." He called out the fellowship president. All of them are still threatening him. It's a real story. He said, "You will see what God will do. God cannot be mocked." He graduated with the first class. Because he's intelligent. Stop putting God in some things. He has settled the most for you. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. You have the Holy Ghost. You know you can heal the sick. That's not what you find in any ordinary place. You have the Spirit of God in you. Amen. You know you can talk to God. Bible says when we speak with tongues, we speak to God. That's not a privilege. It's not ordinary. Having money is something anybody can walk into. If somebody you are even born into it. That's not the God's blessings. He meets our needs. Amen. He pays our bills. Amen. But that's not God's blessing. God's blessing is priceless. When you stand and you lift up holy hands and you are singing in tongues. You know, not everybody in the world can do that. When you go, when you are praying in your room, and you go, Nezum Bledekiadabas, Yendala, Ekrodo Shinelegiadabas, Etosata, Egramadia Lolosi. And someone is there and say, "What is this saying?" And he said, "I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to God." That's God's blessing. He has forgiven our sins. That is found in the new wine. That is found in the new wine. It's worth celebrating. It's worth living for. The moment, the day we understand the weight of forgiveness of sin, we will start praising God more. The issue is that a lot of Christians don't even understand. We just take it as, forgive my sin, If you know how weighty that is, it took God to become man, to die, to go to hell, and come out alive, and say, "Now you can have my spirit." That's not a small thing, that's a big deal. Forgiveness of sin is a big deal. Amen. So it says, the new wine covenant. That is the cup of the new covenant. So what did he do in 3 days? He gave us a new wine. Unlike the one he gave at that wine, at that wedding. This one will never finish. Amen. Amen. This one will never finish. It runs into eternal life. Thank you, my sister. Glory to God. In his temple, everybody shouts glory. Amen. It runs into eternal life. It will never finish. We are in the eternity of God. We are in the new wine. Amen. So, the new covenant. What is the new covenant? In Jeremiah 31. Try to close. In Jeremiah 31. Because sometimes we just have a new covenant. I'm under grace. You are under law. Stop talking like that. I mean, new covenant. And sometimes we don't even have the depth of information of what we're talking about. What is the new covenant? Jeremiah 31. From verse 31. "Beyond the days come, said the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Pray for me as I close, please. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband to them." Can we verse 33 to 34 together?
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor. Saying, know the Lord. Shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, said the Lord, and will forgive their iniquities. And remember their sin. Amen. That is the new covenant. Sin is forgiven. Sin is forgiven. He remembers sin no more. Amen. Amen. We now have a new life. We now have a new identity. We are now children of God. Damn the past. We look ahead. Amen. We are now the children of God. Ezekiel 26, in verse 25, he speaks of this. Ezekiel 26, verse 25. I'm born of God. Hey, I'm born of God. I'm born of God. I'm in the new world. Amen. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I clean you. A new heart will I also give to you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stone in out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27. And I will put spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. Amen. And you shall keep my judgment and do them. Say, this is who I am. This is who I am. I'm walking in his status. I'm walking in his judgment. All my meters are within the love of God. Amen. I'm surrounded by his law. Encompassed, overwhelmed by his spirit. That is the new covenant. The new covenant is starts with that man saying, I believe what Jesus said, he said. He has done. I believe it's true. If he said he died for me, then I believe it's true. If he said he has risen from the dead for my justification, that is true. The moment I call his story true, I am a child of God. The moment I call his story true, I am part of that wedding. But this time around, with a wine that will never finish, I am part of that wedding of Christ and the church. I am part of that wedding. I am part of that wedding. That eternal union that will never be broken. That is the new covenant. I will put my spirit within you. Moses had to say, God, show me your glory. Israel never knew God. They had to hear from Moses. But Moses said, there will be a time. You don't need a prophet. You don't need to run to one mountain. You don't need to start looking for God in one valley. He said, in your room, you just shut the door. And you go there, the Messiah and the Barrier. Can't you see that? I want to talk to God. I want to find out things. Amen. Amen. The time has come. We are in that new one. What did he do? He takes his life so that we can walk in the newness of life. His death is our life. Amen. His death is our life. His death is my life. His death is my life. His death is my life. You don't know my eternal life. How about that? You need to understand, these are basic elements of Christianity. I have eternal life. There will never be no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can drop this mortal body, but we always be. There will never be eternal no more. I have eternal life. There is eternity set in my heart. Amen. I've got the Spirit of God. I've got life eternal. Amen. I can do what men can do. How can you say that one? I can do what the Spirit can do. You know, you read the Acts of the Apostles. And you wonder, what made them start praying on that day of Pentecost? The Bible says, they were all gathered in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like a mighty rushing wind, and he filled up the earth with and drove tongues out of the fire, the sat upon each and every one of them. And they spoke with tongues. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the new one. This is the same Peter denied Jesus. The same one I used to tell said, you are one of the disciples. Me. Look at me again. Me. I'm doing tourism. I just came here for tourism. He denied Jesus three times. But you know, on the day of Pentecost, in the new wine,
In the new wine, something has changed. He stood up. But Peter stood up with the 11 and he said, listen to me, men and brethren. You men of Israel, listen to me and hear my words. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, a man approved among you, and one is on the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, this is that he was spoken by Spirit of Joel. I'll pour out my spirit upon you. He is now speaking. Why? We are in the new wine. Amen. In that new wine, our sins are forgiven. Let no demon, let no devil guilt trip you. Let nobody trap you into thinking that God is angry. No! The man did not die for sin so that he can still be angry with you. He gave you his life. He gave you his spirit. That is the new wine. 3 days. It's not just about Good Friday and Easter Monday. It's about now. We have more than 4 days. We have life eternal. Amen. And we will never die. We will never perish. Amen. John 3:16, as simple as this. God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish. You will have life eternal. Let that sink into you. That you are a child of God. You are a child of God. You are born of the resurrection. You are born of the Spirit. Except the man be born of Spirit. He said he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But we know we have entered. Because we are born of the Spirit. We are sealed with the Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 4:30. Galatians 5:6. We are sealed with the Spirit of God. Amen. It's not because of that we can boldly walk in the newness of life. Because what happened in 3 days is that he made a way where there seems to be no way. We thought that was the end for humanity. We thought that we are all damned. We thought we are all doomed. We thought we are all on the side of the serpent. Then this man came. He talked through the crowds. He broke the walls. And he said, I'm dying for Femi. He said, I'm dying for Moyo. He said, I'm going to die. And anyone who believes in my story will never be the same again. What happened in 3 days? You are a new man. Hallelujah. Hear us your feet this morning. And just sing in our tongues and praise his name. But that's our response. That's our response. We are men born of the Spirit.